Gabrielle at someone up here that it looks like Rages, but what is the correct pronunciation of that? But it probably isn't Rages, is it? Probably like Rages or Rages of Medea. I just am not sure he's saying Rages, but maybe that's the way it sounds to us. But anyway, he entrusted this to this man at this place. So he said to himself, I requested death for myself. Why do I not call my son Tobias to make this known to him before I die? So he summoned him and said, my son, if I die, bury me, but do not disregard your mother. Honor her all the days of your life. Do what is pleasing to her, but do not grieve her. Remember, my son, that she experienced many dangers for you while you were in the womb. When she dies, bury her beside me in the same grave. My son, remember the Lord our God all your days, and do not desire to sin or to disobey his commandments. Do righteousness all the days of your life, and do not walk in the ways of wrongdoing. For if you walk in the truth, you will be successful in your works. Do almsgiving from your possessions to all who do righteousness. When you do almsgiving, do not let your eye be envious. Do not turn your face away from any poor man, so the face of God will not be turned away from you. Do almsgiving based on the quantity of your possessions. If you possess only a few, do not be afraid to give according to the little you have. You are storing up a good treasure for yourself in the day of necessity. For almsgiving delivers us from death and prevents us from entering into the darkness. Indeed, almsgiving is a good gift for all who do it during the Most High. Okay, let's stop here for a little bit. Remember the Lord our God all your days, and do not desire to sin or disobey his commandments. And it talks about almsgiving. Do almsgiving, verse 7, from your possessions. That's good instruction. Go beyond what you're able to do to be helpful to someone else. Because it's not yours to give. I remember one time when I was new and married, my uncle had bought us a camper. So we would go camping with him. And then someone else and I decided I was going to sell it, but I hadn't paid it all. I hadn't paid for it yet to him. And this man wanted it. He stopped by and asked if he could just make payments. And so I didn't like that really, but I said, well, I called my uncle and I asked him, I said, what should I do here? And he said, well, I know that you've done things like that. You've been good to help people, you know. And he said, yeah, but I owned it. And I had it paid for. That's why I could do that. And that taught me a lesson. That, you know, it wasn't mine, but just what if a man didn't pay? Or just, you know, payments or whatever. That was an important thing for me to learn at a young age. I should have learned it before that. But anyway, you can. And so he says, do almsgiving from your possessions to all who do righteousness. When you do almsgiving, do not let your eye be envious. I'm not sure what he means there, totally. But one thought I had is, or I talked to Brother David about this, and he said it could mean just don't give grudgingly. You know? The Lord loves a cheerful giver, the New Testament tells us. And like giving it because you're required to or something, or feel the duty to do it, but give it cheerfully. May have other meanings. Do not turn your face away from any poor man, so the face of God will not be turned away from you. That reminds me of what Jesus said about forgiveness. Can you tell me something about that? It would be similar to this. Forgive that you may be forgiven. In other words, if we don't forgive others, neither will our Father forgive us. So if we're merciful to the poor, God will be merciful to us. The thought here. Almsgiving based on the quantity of your possessions. You know, we tend to think, well, I'm in a hard place here. I don't have very much to have myself. I can't be giving to other people. Well, he says, just give it based on the amount of you. I mean, if you don't have much, just give what you can. If you have a lot, you're more liberal. We're always in the giving mode or the giving mind of things. We should always be willing to give. Remember the widow that was asked to give the last little bit, the meal she had to live on. And she did. In verse 12, my son, guard yourself from all fornication, and above all, take a wife from among the seed of your fathers. Do not take a foreign woman who is not from the tribe of your father, for we are sons of the prophets. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are our fathers from of old. Remember, my son, that all these took wives from among their brothers and were blessed in their children. Their seed will inherit the land. So now, my son, love your brothers, and do not be arrogant in your heart against your brothers, the sons and daughters of your people. Take a wife for yourself from them, for arrogance brings destruction and great disorder, and in such worthlessness there is loss and great defect. For worthlessness is the mother of famine. And what could be more of a famine than to marry someone outside of the faith and raise a family that doesn't love the Lord? I mean, a poor man that loves the Lord and has a wife that loves the Lord is by far richer than someone who has a lot of money, but his family doesn't love the Lord. Do not keep overnight the wages of any man who works for you, but pay him immediately. If you serve God, he will pay you. Give heed to yourself, my son, in all your works. And be disciplined in your conduct. What you yourself hate, do not do to anyone. You know a verse that would remind me of in the New Testament. Right. That's what some call the title for that verse.
Golden rule.
That's right. Why is that a golden rule? Why would that be called that? Because it pretty well is at the top of conduct, the rules that we have between fellow men. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us. That covers a lot of things. That's pretty well at the top. Do not drink wine to a state of drunkenness, and do not let drunkenness become your traveling companion. From your bread, give to him who is hungry, and from your clothing, give to the naked. If you have more than you need, do almsgiving, and do not let your eye envy the almsgiving when you do it. There we are again. Do not give it to sinners. This is a very interesting verse to me because respecting a dead righteous man is better than respecting a live sinner. And that holds so much in that verse, that truth, because, I mean, beyond life and death, it's talking about spread out your bread on the grave of the righteous man. He can't eat the bread you're going to spread on his grave. But David said, I asked him about this verse too. He said that it reminded him of the woman who poured the oil on Jesus, you know, prepared. He said she'd done this preparing spirit. And the other said, what a waste. You could have been sold and given to the poor. But it just seems like another, just about the same as that. That's really a blessing. And then the other part that talked about giving alms, it says, give alms to all who do righteousness. And that, you know, that makes sense. And I don't know the extent of that, and who to give it to, who not to, what this would be teaching there, but it directly lends itself to giving and helping the righteous and not aiding the sinner in his sins, giving. But we know that we're living under the new covenant now, and we're to love even those who don't love God, and to help those because God does. But the principle that this teaches is important for us to understand. And even the New Testament says that we're to especially bless those in the household of faith, because the world loves its own. Seek counsel from every sensible man, and do not treat any useful device with contempt. Advice with contempt. The first thing my mind went to there was when we build pole barns, we often lay out the purlins on 20-foot or whatever, and just go up and over the roof because it's easy and it's symmetrical. Everything's just, you can just lay out building easily in your mind and get this. But if it were, as was brought to my attention, if you could stagger those, it'd be a stronger building. Well, I told Olin, I said, well, I don't know, I mentioned to Olin, and he said something like, well, I guess we don't know how to build pole barns very good. You know, that's the first thought that comes to your mind is, I don't want to do that. But this says, seek counsel from every sensible man, and do not treat any useful advice with contempt. That's right, and that's good, to learn to do something better. Do it right and make it stronger. And so I intend to do that. That's just the way we do. Let's hear this. Let it, you know, everybody faces that in life. Well, I'm going to do it. Whatever it is, whether it's any job you have, any task at hand, anything you're doing that you've been entrusted with, and that you've been given the job to do, and that you haven't been doing it for a while. And someone else walks up, well, why don't you do it like this? Well, I'll do it here. Okay. Or, oh, I did it. See what the difference there? He's teaching his son on his deathbed some very wise counsel. It's good for us to hear that. At every opportunity, bless the Lord God. But more than this, ask that your ways may become straight, and that all your paths and purposes may prosper. I think he's asking here, he's telling him to ask God to make the way discernible, make the path that he can see where he's going, and so he doesn't stumble straight, not crooked. For not every nation has understanding, but the Lord himself gives all that is good, and as he desires, he humbles whomever he will. Now, my son, let none of my commandments be removed from your heart. Now, let me point out to you the 10 talents of silver I entrusted to Gamaliel, the son of Uzziah, and Rahiz, the Levite. Do not fear, my son, that we have become poor. For you are very rich if you fear God. Stay away from every sin and do what is pleasing to you. You are very rich if you fear God. That's what we have to keep in view here. Not that we want to be rich, but that a little with God is much. Just keep that always in your heart. Because if you have the Lord, you have very little, and you have much. Alright. Any questions?
Maybe just do some on this lesson or something.
Some wisdom someone has given you.
Okay. Just that.
Some wisdom somebody has given you.
Maybe
we could let you go last and let the older boys go first. Because they all have maybe a lot more wisdom.
My dad has taught me that a wise man regardeth the life of his beasts.
I went through some kind of annoying times working for Kevin with his workers, and I've wanted to quit over probably about 5 years. But David just told me to stay in there, and I really appreciate him teaching me how to work with other people. How that's very valuable. So, and stick to the job.
I can think of more times than once when I've heard Uncle David say, "A younger man should just sit there and be quiet, let the older men speak, and you ain't always got to put your 2 cents in."
Sometimes, my dad has to have me do not hurry through some of my work sometimes, or go a little faster sometimes. Sometimes when I'm going a little too fast so that I don't skip things or do it improperly.
I've heard David say already that to respect your elders even if you don't think they deserve respect.
I've been taught to be thorough with my work and to be diligent.
Sometimes when we're working on a service call or something, replacing a spring, I get aggravated sometimes if it gets harder, and then Dad gets a phone call and it just and I'm doing it all by myself, but he just tells me sometimes, just calm down and just relax a little bit, and then it'll go through a lot quicker, and then it's fine.
My dad has taught me to not be hard on my brothers when when they, with their troubles that they have, that they're going through, because I still have plenty of troubles.
I was taught all my life to listen to all the brothers and just do my work diligently without questioning them or sorting off or anything.
I'd like to thank each one of you brothers and just for being a good influence in my life. And I think often I've been thinking a lot this week, particularly, about how we're not required to impress anybody or perform, and that's one thing I've learned. And I'm still learning. I don't have to, like when I'm working for a brother, I don't have to impress them. I just need to respect them and love them.
My parents have taught me to respect older people and what they tell me to do and listen to them, and I can get through life a lot better that way. My dad has taught me not to be lazy and that I should do my work diligently.
My dad has taught me to not just run off and play whenever I feel like it and get to work.
My dad has taught me that whenever he tells me to do something, I should do it and be happy.
I just think of so many things over the, you know, my growing up years that people gave me to as advice that helped. Really valuable, just valuable little advice, like I think it was Brother Chet that said about being quiet, don't want to give your 2 cents all the time. But then, if an older person, an old grandfather or great grandfather is asking you, grandmother is asking you the question, or talking to you, ask you what your name is, or ask you a question, well, find your voice and respond courteously. Because now they want to hear from you. And that's a challenge. You can talk to be quiet and all that, and find your voice. Be nice to them. Same way with answering the telephone. And I remember, of course, we used to just have the old dial telephone. You know, you would answer it because your parents weren't nearby to grab it. And someone told me already, and I don't remember who it was, maybe it was in school, that be courteous and don't just say, tell who you are. Say, hello, this is, and tell you, say who you are of the family. And I remember putting that into practice, and then a brother at church, named Reuben Martin, he just told me later, I called and I really appreciated you saying who you were. I didn't have to guess which one of the boys it was. I knew exactly who it was. Just little, awesome little things people have helped me.
Son to his mother.